The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
Over the years, we've enjoyed sweet fellowship with Elder Sam Bryant here at Zion Church. Back in 2013, Brother Sam came to be with us one Sunday night and preached a powerful sermon from the book of Job, entitled Acquaint Thyself with Him. In today's sermon, which is the first half of this message, we begin to learn about how we, as regenerated children of God, ought to grow in grace and knowledge of God. Please join us today for the first half of this sermon.
It's a great joy to be back here at Zion Church tonight. Brother Norman asked me last Sunday about coming down with him tonight, and I was right up for that. And might explain why my wife is not with me tonight. She loves to come down here as well, but we had a granddaughter from Nashville with us all weekend, and she had to take her back to meet her father this afternoon, but she sent her love to all of you. But it's good to be back with you tonight, and I've enjoyed the singing and the prayer. You know, and I think we've been singing to the Lord.
Amen.
And our brother's been talking to the Lord.
Amen.
Now I hope we can hear from the Lord.
Amen.
Through his word.
Amen.
And hope you'll continue to pray for me. Preaching is not just a human effort.
That's right.
That reminds me of the preacher who preached one Sunday, and one of the members of the congregation came up and said, "Pastor, that was a very good sermon." And he said, "Well, it was all of the Lord." And she said, "Well, it wasn't that good." You know, if it was all of the Lord, it would be perfect. And there is a human side to preaching, and we do have a responsibility as ministers to preach and to study the Word. But we do need God's grace and the Holy Spirit to help. And without that, our labors are in vain. I want to notice with you this evening a passage of Scripture in Job chapter 22. Brother Chris asked me about doing the preaching tonight, and I said, "Well, I'll do my best, but I'm glad we have some relief pitchers here tonight." You know, at Vestavia on Sunday morning, I don't have anybody I can count on if I fail. But he's asked me, and I will try to bring a message tonight. I tried to preach twice today. You know, when I was young, preaching three times on Sunday was no big deal. As far as content or such, it would be a big deal. But physically, it wasn't. But that's not true anymore. Physically, I'm beginning to feel my age. But the Lord being my helper, I want to try to preach to you some tonight from a passage in Job chapter 22 and verse 21. "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Now this is some advice that was given to Job by one of his friends. And they didn't always give him good advice. But I believe this was good advice. "Acquaint now thyself with him," that is with God, "and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee."
Amen.
Now we know that a man who is dead in sin cannot acquaint himself with God.
Right.
He's dead in sin, has no interest in God, no desire to know God. God has to come to him and give him spiritual life. But once you and I are born of the Spirit of God, we need to grow in grace. The Apostle Peter closed out his second epistle by saying, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
We all need to be growing in our knowledge of God.
Amen.
So the advice given to here to Job would be good for all of us.
Amen.
"Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." How can we acquaint ourselves with God? Well, first of all, we can observe his creation.
Amen.
Because I can tell you, it would tell you a lot about God.
Right.
Yeah.
He is a powerful God. The God that made this universe is not lacking in power.
Amen.
He doesn't get tired on Sunday afternoon.
Amen. That's right.
He won't be going to bed tonight.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm at that age where I really look forward to laying down at night and getting some rest. God doesn't get tired.
Amen.
He is the Almighty God. And the creation will tell us that he's a God of all wisdom. There's a lot of intelligence behind this creation.
Amen.
And the more scientists learn about the creation, the more we learn about the wisdom of God.
Amen.
In creation.
Mm-hmm.
DNA is an amazing thing.
Amen. They're learning more and more about God through DNA. So the natural creation would tell us a lot about God, His faithfulness. He's a faithful creator, Amen. The Apostle Peter said. He does take care of His creation. He feeds the fish. That's a big aquarium out there, you know. The Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian Oceans.
Amen.
Who's taking care of all those fish? A faithful creator.
Amen.
He takes care of all the wild animals. He maintains His creation. He takes care of it. He upholds it, the Bible says, by the word of His power. He hung the earth on nothing. And it's still hanging on nothing.
Amen.
Have y'all ever tried to hang something on nothing? Good luck.
Yeah.
Try to hang your hat on nothing.
That's right.
And yet the Bible says God hung the earth on nothing.
That's right.
And He's still upholding it today by the word of His power.
Amen.
Two philosophers one time were talking about what the earth rested on. And one of them finally concluded it must be sitting on a pointed spear because it's orbiting. And it must be on a pointed spear. And everybody applauded that theory until the other philosopher asked, well, what is the spear sitting on? You know, you get down there to a point where there's nothing but the hand of God.
Amen.
The invisible hand of God.
That's right.
So nature can teach us a lot about nature's God.
Amen.
You look at this building tonight and study it, and it'll tell you a little something about the man who built it.
Right.
But it wouldn't tell you anything about his heart.
No.
God gave us this book
Amen.
To tell us a lot about His personality.
Yes. Right.
His goodness.
Amen.
The Bible says the Lord is good.
Right.
How do we know He's good? Well, first of all, when He created the world, it was very good.
Right.
Everything He did, He said it's good. And then when He created man, He said it's very good. The only thing God said was not good was that man should not dwell alone.
That's right.
I say amen to that.
Amen. That's right.
So God put him to sleep and gave him a wife. And I'm sure when Adam saw her, he said, yes, this is very good.
Amen.
No other creature in all of creation that would be a companion for him. But in the morning of time in the garden, there were no tornadoes.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Praise the Lord.
And no telling how many more tornadoes there will be here in Alabama, but there were none in the morning of time.
Right.
No droughts,
right.
No earthquakes,
right.
No heart attacks, no cancer.
Mm.
That tells you God is good.
Amen.
God created a good world, free from all sin and disease. But the Bible tells us more and more about the character of God than nature does. We have two books to study, the natural creation and the Bible.
Right.
And aren't you glad God has given us the Bible?
Amen.
And we need to acquaint ourselves with God.
Right.
We need to know more and more and more about God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be reading the tabloids and all the magazines of this world. Maybe a little.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little bit, maybe.
Right.
But this is really what we need to be studying.
Amen.
And acquainting ourselves with God. Mm-hmm. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace.
Amen.
You know, there's so many people in the world who just don't know much about the God of creation. I want to notice with you in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul had gone to Athens, Greece. There's no evidence in Scripture that the Holy Spirit led him there. But he went there to meet two young ministers who were going to meet up with him in Athens, Greece. But while he was there, the Bible says in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now here is this great apostle who has this great treasure in an earthen vessel, the gospel. He's in Athens waiting for Timothy and Silas to meet him. But being a faithful, zealous preacher, he's not just going to sit there and wait.
Right.
He sees all this idolatry. So he goes into a synagogue where he would have been very much at home, being a Jew himself, knowing the language of the Jews. And he began to dispute with them and with devout persons. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Now, he didn't have the respect that he should have had in this city. He was a man of God, but he was a Jew, and by nature, I'm sure he wasn't much to look at. The book of Corinthians tells us what the Jew, what the Greeks thought about him physically. You know, they said he didn't have a good speech.
Right.
He was not an orator. His speech was very crude. His physical appearance was weak. And these Greeks, who really did focus a lot on developing the human body, probably looked down on this little fellow. They didn't think very highly of him. But they were going to miss one of life's greatest blessings by not giving ear to this man. But they make fun of him and say, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Now, when Brother Chris preaches Jesus and the resurrection here at Zion, you all don't think that's a strange doctrine.
Right.
I hope you don't.
Amen.
But to them, it was a strange doctrine. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Now, what does that tell you about the Athenians? They worshiped the intellect.
Right.
And they were brilliant people. Outwardly, the Greeks were very intelligent people. If you go to college today, you're probably going to have to study the writings of the Greek philosophers. They worshiped the intellect. They worshiped new things. They wanted to hear some new thing every day. They were easily bored. And I think they worshiped their tolerance of things. They were very tolerant of new lifestyles and things of that nature. And I tell you what that will lead to, beloved. And that's very much, I think, in harmony with today's culture in America.
Amen.
And what does that lead to? Well, it really can lead to what I have called educated arrogance.
Amen.
Education is not a bad thing. You need an education today. If you're going to go out and try to find a job, you need an education. But don't get arrogant about your education.
Amen. Right.
And don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think.
Amen.
Well, the Athenians were educated and they were arrogant about it.
Right.
And if you are always looking for something new, what does that result in? It results in what I call restless dissatisfaction.
Amen.
How many people do you know today who are really content?
Amen.
The truth will make you content.
Amen.
But if you're always looking for some new idea, and that's what a lot of religion's about today.
Right.
A lot of the contemporary churches are up to their eyeballs in programs.
Right.
Looking for something new, the latest trend, the latest fad to draw people in.
Right.
And that leads eventually to restless dissatisfaction.
Amen.
You know, in the old Baptist church, we're just happy with singing, preaching, and praying.
Amen.
Because it's all about God, isn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
It's not about the new trend and the new fad that's
right.
coming down the pipe.
Right.
And when you become very tolerant, and I don't want to be a bigot.
No,
I don't want to be a bigot, but I don't want to be so tolerant of anything and everything that I violate the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
And eventually what you end up with is an endless uncertainty about what is true and what is not true.
Amen.
My mind's settled. My mind's
Amen.
Made up on what's true about
Amen.
Salvation. What about
Amen,
y'all?
Brother. Amen.
I asked Brother Chris what he preached on this morning. He said, "I preached on preaching no other doctrine." Amen.
Amen, brother.
We're satisfied with the old time gospel
Amen.
That God has given us. Well, Paul comes into this city And they're all wrapped up in intellect and new things and tolerance and et cetera, et cetera. And so they want to hear a little more from Paul. So notice what we read here in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. I like that. And said, ye men of Athens. Now here is a preacher of the gospel full of zeal, full of a desire to sow gospel seed wherever and whenever he can. So now he's got an audience. He stands up and says, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Amen. And he's talking there about a religious superstition. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, these people are worshipers, I found an altar to with this inscription, to the unknown God. Amen. The unknown God. Now, they had a lot of gods in Athens. Some historians say you could find an idol god easier than you could find a man. They had so many idols in the city.
Right.
Unless they overlooked this one, they had this idol to the unknown God.
Right.
And notice what Paul says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
Amen.
Paul is saying, yes, you're worshiping this God, but you're ignorant.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to declare him to you.
Yeah.
What Paul is saying is, you need to be acquainted with God. You need to know more about the true God.
Amen.
We don't want to worship idol gods.
Amen.
So notice what he says now in his sermon. He says, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein.
Amen.
Now he goes all the way back to Genesis 1
Amen.
With this congregation.
Sure,
I doubt he did that in the synagogue with the Jews because they were very familiar with Genesis chapter 1.
Right.
But these Athenians weren't. So he goes back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you ever notice in the Bible, God never argues about his existence?
Amen,
he never debates his existence. He just declares his existence.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That settles it, friends.
Amen,
God's not going to sit around and debate his existence with human beings.
Right.
Well, so Paul says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's not even going to dwell in the Parthenon.
That's right.
As magnificent as that building was, the most perfectly designed building by human hands, God does not dwell in the Parthenon.
Amen.
Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything.
Amen.
You and I can't help God. You do know that, don't
Amen,
you?
Brother.
Amen.
He's not in need. If he was, I don't think he'd be asking us to help
Amen.
Him. So neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Amen.
Wow. This God is the fountain of all life.
Amen.
And then notice what he says in verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth.
Amen.
That ought to settle racism forever, hasn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
This idea that there's one race superior to another race, that never leads to anything but trouble in
Amen.
This world.
Right.
The Aryans thought that. How about Hitler thought they were superior to other races? So he had a legitimate right to put to death in their gas chambers the Jews and the Poles and other nations and all the handicapped. No, sir. Paul tells these, and these Athenians were very racist.
Right.
They thought there was only two groups of people on the planet, the Greeks and the barbarians.
Right. Right.
If you weren't a Greek, you were a barbarian.
That's right.
And Paul is letting these proud Athenians know, you all came from the same bloodline I came from.
Amen.
God hath made of one blood all nations
Amen.
Of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Are y'all listening to that?
Amen.
That tells you something about God, doesn't it?
That's right. Yes.
I'm telling you, when Paul got through in Athens at Mars Hill, they knew a little more about God than they did before he started.
Amen.
Well, we don't want to spend all our time over there. I just went there to just point out that there is a possibility of us worshiping God in ignorance.
That's right.
And we don't want to worship God in ignorance. The Bible says he's a spirit and he seeks something. You know what God seeks?
Yeah.
He seeks worship.
Amen.
He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want anything like that. He wants us to worship him.
Amen.
And he wants us to worship him in spirit
yeah.
and in truth. Truth matters in the house of God.
Yeah.
Paul said it is the pillar and ground of what? The truth.
Amen.
A pillar upholds something. And I want to tell you, the church of God ought to hold up the truth of
Amen.
God's word.
Amen.
And it is the ground of truth. We ought to be defending the truth whenever we have the opportunity.
Amen.
And guard it and love it.
Amen.
Oh, how wonderful that is. Now, so Paul is saying, let's not worship God in ignorance. Now, there will always be things about God we don't know. I think personally, you know, people are always talking about what heaven will be like. And I certainly am not going to stand up here tonight and tell you all about heaven. But I do believe this. We're going to spend eternity learning about God.
Amen.
I do. I believe that.
Amen.
We serve such an awesome God, beloved. Eternity won't be long enough for you and I to get fully and totally and intimately acquainted with him.
Amen.
So the little time we spend in church on Sunday
right.
learning about him is surely worthwhile.
Amen.
Oh, my friends. So the advice to Job in the midst of all of his trouble is, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.